All right. Well, hi, welcome to our podcast where we talk about every genre of music with different guests, and we ask them different questions about them, essentially just trying to boil down the genre into different songs. And this is our first episode, so I'm gonna talk a little bit about what we're gonna do for the rest of the episodes, and just essentially run through how the structure will be. Essentially, what we do is we ask someone to be on the podcast, and then we send them a playlist filled with like one genre of music, essentially, like songs that we think are in the genre of music, after doing like a little bit of research and trying to get acquainted with the genre. The person has to know the genre really well, and they add to the playlist that we send them, essentially. And that's basically the premise of our podcast. And then as the podcast runs through, we're gonna be making music as well, basically basing ourselves on what we learn from different people, and what's like production techniques we might learn, and different things like that. Today we have Senna
What's
with
up,
us.
guys?
Hi. He's a really good
Hello.
friend of mine from school, and Raul knows him from, well, through me, essentially. Yeah, and Senna, his music name is Aria, actually, on Spotify. And he makes EDM. He makes EDM, and well, in my opinion, he's one of the best EDM producers I've met. So
Wow.
obviously, I had to have him on the show for the first ever episode. Senna, talk to us a little bit about EDM and what you think like defines EDM, and
Yeah, so EDM is electronic dance music, as we all know. And it's like literally the music to dance to, if you will. And a lot of people find it, a lot of people don't like it, a lot of people like it. It depends on who you are as a person. And for me, like I grew up with in Indonesia. Well, like growing up there was, a lot of like actions around me all the time and a lot of like dancing and I don't know, like electronic dance music just got into me as soon as I grew up, and yeah, it's a lot of genres to deal with too.
Yeah.
And
There's a lot
in
of
your playlist,
subgenres, right?
yeah, so many. And like in your playlist you guys sent me, like it's really diverse. Like it's not like the same EDM. Like how EDM people like know the structure of it, and like it's like, oh, it's this one again. And like one your playlist, the one you sent me, it's like really diverse, like it's really unique at some songs and some is just basic, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I realized that, for example, like the Fat Rat or Galantis are completely different from like Steve Aoki.
Exactly. Yeah. Can tell the
I
diversity.
personally, I thought like I wasn't sure if like EDM was a subgenre of like electronic music or if it was like
Its own thing.
a genre like as a whole. So like the songs I added was what I thought was EDM in the
Was
sense
EDM.
of yeah, but more like kind of mainstream kind of
Right,
music.
like pop, like kind of pop-ish.
Yeah. But like I also added some songs from Steve Aoki and I wasn't sure if that was EDM. And also like the Fat Rat, like the song Unity. I just thought it was EDM because of the sounds and like the build up and that sort of thing. But I wasn't like really sure how to
Like
I don't
what?
know, I wasn't sure if like I don't know, house was considered EDM or something.
So actually like different genres is really just different BPM. If that
Really?
makes sense. Like if you think of like progressive house, it's usually like 128 BPM where the build up, the melody starts to get introduced, and the drop, that's what the melody is going to be. That's what progressive house is. And then like actual deep house and like house is what people listen to nowadays, where it's like 125 BPM ish and it's like the chill vibe. Like you know Kygo or like any
No.
you're
No.
familiar with Kygo, right? Andres, and yeah, he's it's it's really like more complicated as you dive deep into the actual genre of EDM. But producing it is really different too, if you know what I mean.
So you've been producing EDM for how long? Like around a year,
nine
right?
Months. Yeah, like around close to a year.
Mm-hmm. So what would you say is like the like first thing that you should focus on when you're producing EDM? Like when you're trying to get into producing EDM?
Right. I think for EDM, it's all about being unique. Because I think, you know, a lot of people nowadays want to be specific artists they look up to. And I think for EDM, sound design is really important. You know, like if you hear the same sounds over and over again, people won't like, you know, find it cool or anything. Like you wanna let people hear something that's they've never heard before, you know. And
yeah,
sound design is really important to that. And if you can create some kind of like unique character towards you,
mm-hmm.
People will look up to you, and you know, like they would wanna be person you are because you create these unique sounds out of, you know,
it's a very like personified genre, I guess. Like,
yeah, exactly. And once you build that character, you have your own sound, and then when people listen to your shit, it's like, oh, it's this guy.
Yeah it's, exactly,
you know, like people are familiar with like the characteristic of you.
Yeah, like I definitely can say that when I was listening to the playlist and I was like running through like all the songs, then also the ones you added and stuff, I was like, now I can basically tell who Marshmallow is, right? Like what he sounds like, and like what Martin Garrix generally sounds like. And someone I really liked was Alan Walker. He was very, very unique, and it was so dope to listen to him. I actually delved deep a little bit more into his music, and I enjoyed it quite a lot.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, I had like a, not a problem, but I wasn't like really familiar with the genre. I mean, I knew some songs, but like what happened to me most of the time is that after listening to, I don't know, 10 songs, they started like sounding alike.
Same.
Like most of them, yeah. And also like what I thought of EDM was like I had this... I thought it was like this pop music, like commercial music,
right.
EDM. So, like in general, I don't like the music that sounds like too happy. You know what I mean? Like
right.
It sounds cool. Have, there's like a party. Yeah. So as I started like listening more into the playlist, I started like finding songs that were like heavier, kind of like the beats, the drops, right. and that's what I really like I don't like the, like, I don't know, poppy kind of drops. There were a few songs that I really liked. Like one of the ones I put in the playlist, it was Steve Jobs from Steve Aoki. It's so fucking heavy, like it's like with the like a house beat basically, right. Like the little melody that sounds more EDM,
right?
Then like the drop is so fuck, I don't even know how to describe
so
it. Like
catchy,
the
right?
sound is just
yeah,
and it's like really fuck, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, heavy is a good adjective, I think, because we're like Roland and I are both metalheads, like since we were little, right? Like, and you know, heavy music, quote unquote, is kind of what we're used to. So I guess finding something like that within EDM is good for us because it like creates some sense of familiarity as well.
It's like you guys can relate, right?
Yeah.
But also, what I meant about that drop is what the sound of the. It was like I can't like say it with words. I can only like imagine it. Like, I don't know if you're seeing me on the camera.
Yeah, I can see.
But like, you know,
like entrancing.
Yeah, entrancing. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, like entrancingly heavy. Yeah, definitely. It's like when like you start listening to like deathcore or like a genre that just has really heavy drops, like within metal.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah. And you're like, oh shit, this is new to me, right? And you don't even know how to describe it. Yeah. All right. So talk a little bit about the songs that we added onto the playlist. Like, what songs would you say are good representation of EDM, and which ones really aren't?
Well, I think they're all good representations of EDM. I just think some of them are, you know, overplayed or like, they're really throwback. Like you've put some in like 2012 here, and like some 2012 EDM here, 2013 EDM, and like stuff I added was more of like what people listen to nowadays,
right?
And how melody is really like important to an EDM. It's like if you don't have a good melody in your songs, I think that's not only for EDM but for all genres too.
Mm-hmm.
Like melody is really important for like metal too, right? Like guys produce it, you know. And I think just you have to like, it hooks people onto the song if you have a good melody, you know. It makes them want to listen to it more.
Yeah, of course.
And from there on, it's just like a really good EDM song. But the songs you put here, I think there was this one called, you guys know Boneless by Steve Aoki?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
See, like, that's a good melody, right? Mm-hmm. And, like, that's an anthem. Everyone knows
it's really catchy. If you play that,
yeah, it's really catchy, exactly. And then you play that on, like, you know, a festival or whatever, like, everyone would sing along. Like, you know, everyone would sing along, literally. And, you know, that builds Steve Aoki as a character and as a DJ himself for producing catchy melodies like that.
What I've realized is, like, you know, Boneless is a 2013 song or something, I believe.
2013, and,
like, that compared to like newer Steve Aoki is so
really different.
It's really different. Like it's such a changing genre, especially even within like within artists. Because for example, like Roland and I are used to metal, and metal tends to take like a bit of a longer time to like develop. You know,
right.
Like over the past 10 years, it's developed quicker. But like 20 years before that, it was basically all the same. And like it was just like death metal and like thrash, like the very socialist genres were like kind of dying down and stuff. And now it's just like, especially because of like technology and like the accessibility to everyone, it's like fast paced, right? Like everything is changing so quickly. Yeah. And EDM really is a perfect representation of that, at least from what I gather.
Yeah, and really. Also like the songs you sent, you added to the playlist.
Yeah,
we're really different from what I like added to the playlist and stuff.
Right.
What I put on there was also like 2013 and 2012 thing.
Yeah. Oh shit.
So yeah, I really liked some of the songs you put on there. Like they sounded really different.
Yeah.
From what
I think unique is a good word to that. Yeah. EDM is all about being unique, man. Like there's like, this producer called, his name is Jonas Aiden, and he basically looks up for the EDM community, and his tip is always like, have your own sound. Like, don't try to copy others. Cause, like, if you try to copy others, you're just gonna end up being one less level than them, you know, and always stuck on that level.
Yeah, your music is not gonna be genuine. It's just gonna be like copies of someone else.
Yeah, kind of like Greta Van Fleet and Led Zeppelin, you know.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Let's not get into that right now. So I mean, I'll run through a couple songs that I really liked from the ones you added.
Yeah.
So, for example, I'm a really big John Mayer fan, right?
Oh yeah.
And you added the Zookeeper remix to For New Lights.
Really nice.
That remix is so dope. Like, especially because I really love that song from John Mayer, And like listening to an EDM artist just like turn it into straight up EDM is really dope, because it like I don't know, it like kind of made me want to try that, you know what I mean? Like I'm a guitarist and Raul is as well, and just finding that possibility to use a guitar within EDM, because it generally isn't really used, it's just really cool to me, you know. So that's like I think that's my favorite song from the ones you added, simply because I you know, I already really like John Mayer, so that's probably
right.
a big bias on my part. But also I had never really listened to Tiësto. Like I obviously knew who he was, but I wasn't
because he was big back then.
But I wasn't like super acquainted with his music.
Into it.
And I really, really enjoyed his music as well. Then for some people that I really just hadn't heard of, like Madison Mars, that was dope. That was really
cool. Yeah.
I'm not sure if you like
really weird.
Yeah.
It's like really weird. The song design is weird, but it works, right?
Yeah, like, I'm not sure if you're like a big fan or whatever, but it was really cool.
I just thought it was like a unique sound design. Like you don't hear that anywhere. So it's like might as well put it.
Yeah, exactly. And you like you said, just creating a unique sound is a big part of EDM, at least from what really I'm listening. Because everyone just sounds so much different from each other. It's really crazy.
I think so one of the songs from there, I think it was called Lathi by Weird Genius.
Yes, I was gonna talk about that song.
Yeah, that's so good. That song is you like it?
I love it.
Yeah, it's actually like Weird Genius is three people from Indonesia. Where I come from. Are you guys familiar with the instrument gamelan? Andrews talk about it a lot.
Yeah, we have a teacher who did gamelan for a while.
It's called gamelan.
It's like basically just in like Western terms, I guess you could call it like a bunch of gongs playing alongside each other, and they're all tuned like microtonally.
I think of, I don't know if we're thinking of the same thing, but I think I've seen it.
I believe it's used a lot in like religious ceremonies and stuff as well.
Exactly.
So where you were saying?
They use a lot.
So they use a lot of gamelan within the
song. Yeah, and it's like a lot of like artists nowadays, they don't hear gamelan anywhere.
Right,
or because like gamelan is kind of like, you know, hiding from everyone in like instrumentation, like you don't really hear gamelan anywhere in the Western, you know, and just putting that in and then turning it to like, you know, as you can say, like a heavy EDM, it's pretty dope, man. Like I don't ever hear that anywhere, and I thought it was like a really cool sound. And after that, I started following them, and you know, every song I hear from them, it's like I hear the characteristic of that sound, and damn, like that's something I still need to work on, finding my sound.
Mm-hmm.
And like once you have that, it's like kind of know where to go from that. And you know, it's not easy going there, obviously. And it's like, it's tough, man. But it's really fun in the same time, you know.
For sure.
Yeah, I think that's like kind of a problem that every artist in basically every like area has, like I still have it, like finding my sound, like finding like the artistic identity, right?
For sure.
Right. And it's like a really important thing that you have to develop, but it's still hard to, I don't know, I think it's a really important thing to define as you're growing as an artist.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's,
I think so too.
It's hard.
Yeah, especially when you really come from like very like a very varied background, like within music. So for example, like I learned guitar by playing a lot of funk and a lot of jazz.
You know Andy James, that one artist you sent me? I think from hearing like, you know, Asylum, like that one melody, that one really strong melody.
Mm-hmm.
Like hearing his other songs, like the melodies he put in, you can almost kind of tell like that it's him. You know what
of
I mean?
Course.
Like, if, like, yeah, it's like Andy James playing and like guitar riffs he does. Like, it's, you can tell that like, it's him. And I guess like that also, I don't know how he built his characteristic of sound, but you just like, people do it in really weird ways, but it works.
Yeah, like, I mean, for like a genre such as like instrumental progressive, like that kind of thing, like the one I sent you, Andy James, and I also sent you Pliny, I believe, right?
Yeah, that one too.
Like that time we were talking about that, it's like kind of, I guess in some way easier to find your sound within like just guitar music, because I mean, everyone sounds different when they're playing guitar inherently. And also like tone plays a big part of it, you know, like, you know, you'll hear like one chord played by Van Halen and you'll hear one chord played by like Andy James, and it's completely different, right? Because of their tone. Even if it's like just they're playing the exact same thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And I think that's definitely something a little harder to find within EDM, because EDM is like kind of like built by blocks, you know, it's like all built within a DAW, essentially. Right. It's not really like, or generally, you know, like it's not really, not very
like relatable to like the,
I guess it's not like as human in some way as it is as like playing guitar would be. And that's not a bad thing. I'm just trying to qualify it in some way.
But I think in a way it's kind of similar to this genre of progressive guitar instrumental music, because like on one side the guitar music, instrumental, progressive, etc. Besides from tone, you have to like find your like your way of playing that makes you sound different from many guitarists, because there are so many guitarists that have influenced so many people. So I think that's also like really hard to find a sound that defines you, and like also like kind of break out of that. Like I feel that sometimes music theory can kind of like
kill your
trap
creativity.
You in a way, because you're always thinking of like, oh, what is this, and you know, and also like apply to guitar, you have like all these shapes for scales, right? So you most of guitarists like end up being trapped in that scale, like that shape of the scale. So I think it's also like a matter of finding ways to exploit the guitar as much as you can, like using different techniques, like thinking outside of the box, right?
Thinking outside of the box,
And also I think like the thing with EDM, it's also like the way, like the synths you use, like what, I think it's more production oriented, like EDM, like what kind of compression you use on the kick drum and how you process the snare, all that sort of thing. But it's also like important, the tone is also like really important. Like just as in
tone
guitar
is,
you have to find like the right synth for the thing you wanna execute,
like the vibe,
right?
You're going for, you know.
Yeah.
Like if you and I think something also really important towards you know, EDM is filling up the gaps. And what I mean by that is if you hear like, you know, let's say a really good buildup, and then it goes to the drop and it's just not really what people was expecting, and then it just turns out to be, you know, a lot of missing stuff. Like you want to like have the gaps filled, like all the blank spaces, you know. And if you don't really have that filled, it loses energy, and you don't want that to happen, right? Like you don't want the energy to be, you know, wasted. So filling up the gaps really helps with that, and that's how a lot of artists accomplishes EDM nowadays, just by adding like really, like, you know, like one of those like dubstep growls, like,
yeah,
like, you know what, like, kind of like that, and then kind of like tweaking with it too, You tweak with it, you know, pitch it down, put like plugins in it, blah, blah, blah. Make it sound like your own sound. Because like with one sound, you can literally manipulate it in any way, right?
Yeah.
Like that's the beauty of music. Like you can literally manipulate one sample into any way you want. And that's the thing, that's the beauty of EDM too, is you can fuck around with so many sounds to the point where like, yeah, like you said, thinking out of the box, like, you know, if you get the right mindset of that, it really can work.
Yeah.
And I think that's like, really important too.
Yeah. Speaking of sampling, like I hadn't ever really like realized how much sampling plays a part in EDM. Like, it's basically like one of the main building blocks for EDM, right? Like,
really is, yeah. Just
most of the songs that you hear are like samples of some sort, right? Like either vocal samples
or right,
the gamelan samples that you talked about, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I never really thought of that. And, you know, like you can sample whatever the fuck you want, but making like interesting music with like just one everyday sample is really fucking hard.
Yeah, it really is.
Like, I think the thing about sampling is also that you have to find the kind of musicality or rhythm in even like an interview. Like you can sample like not even a music like a song. I have two friends that made a song sampling an interview with Charles Manson.
Mm. Oh shit.
And it worked so well because they knew how to like where to cut and where to place like, specific word or specific phrase.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's also like a thing, really interesting thing like I would like to explore. And also I've heard that there's a lot of people that are kind of against sampling. Like they say it's not original, but like you can make so much like out of
one simple sample,
one second of a sample, you know. For example, Kanye, he samples like everything. He's so good. Like there's a song, I don't know what it's called, but he sampled, I think, Paranoid from Black Sabbath.
Hmm.
Yeah, man. That guy definitely thinks out of the box. Like he's, you know, he was always like that too. Like even back then, like that's a lot. That's mostly why people look up to him, is because
You
know, he's put shit in where like no one does.
He's insanely like, really creative.
It really is.
It's crazy. Like even I mean, with that argument about like sampling is bad, it's just kind of like people not wanting to get accustomed to like new music, you know, like just trying to stick to the old ways, quote unquote. Like for example, you know, the song Lucid Dreams by Juice WRLD.
Right.
That song samples a Sting song, right? Like the intro is a Sting song. And there were a lot of articles written like, is sampling good? Like is stealing, quote unquote, someone's music good? And the thing is like, one, he didn't steal anything because he was giving Sting royalties for it. And also like it only matters if the person that you sample doesn't like it. And the thing is, Sting actually really fucked with the song, so much so that he actually plays it live now. Because Juice WRLD is dead. Like he plays the song live instead of his original song. It's like, what the fuck do you care if someone sampled a song and the other artist likes it, you know? It's
there was like a reaction video of Sting like reacting to the song, and then he was like blown away by like how it turned out.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's really happy to like see artists do that, like almost like collab in a, well, not collab, but you know, like borrow from one another's like beat and turning it better. Like that's really cool, man.
Yeah.
And also I think there's a lot of people who kind of refuse to use the new things that technology allows us to do, like especially with music. Like they say, like there's a few plugins that can like process the sound so it becomes like kind of swinged or like you know the term drunk
like drunk feel.
Yeah. So there are people that can now do that with a plugin. I don't know if we can like listen to the song I sent.
Yeah, in the chat.
Yeah.
It's really good.
All right, just in case we didn't create continuity with what the cut that we just made. We listened to a song by Alan Brax called Running, and we were just listening to basically one single sample used like in so many different ways, at least for the drums. You can say what you were saying.
Yeah, what I was saying is that I really like how some people can like manipulate samples in a way that they give them a new groove. They can like create a really groovy song with something that already exists.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really impressive. And also like it also sounds so fat in this song. I mean the bass, the drums, everything sounds so good.
Mm-hmm. It's really good.
Yeah, it's really yeah. And also if you wanna check out the how he made it, I dropped the link in the chat. Yeah. So
check it out later
if you want.
I mean like using doing what he does can tend to sound really like snobby in some way, like quote unquote snobby to some people. Like if you go around talking about like, oh, I used quintuplet swing in my song, people are gonna be so turned off by that. But if you're just like, I used one sample and I made it like, you know, I made it drunk feel, or I like,
you know,
people are like more attracted to that, I think.
Yeah.
For sure.
Definitely, yeah. I think one more element about EDM is also like, how do you put this? Like, it's kind of like you want the audience to be unexpected. Like, you don't want them to know what's going to come, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And because that's pretty boring. Like, you know, like when a build-up comes and the melody starts to get introduced, like, oh, like that's going to be like what the drop is. If you somehow find a way to, you know, surprise your audience, then that's a huge thing, man. Like, because if you get like a really catchy drop through by that, then that's pretty big.
Because, it keeps the song fresh. In some ways.
It does keep the song fresh, yeah. And it's just a really good way of introducing yourself as a character too.
Like, yeah, you're kind of talking in a very like progressive mindset, if you know what I mean.
Right.
Like at least for you know for our metal roots, generally like songs tend to be also like you know verse chorus bridge chorus and that's it
right.
They are in pop it's just because it's a good structure but
it's basic it's meat
and
potatoes
right but it generally works as well right it's like that's why people use it but then if you go into like progressive metal or in this case progressive EDM like shit just goes crazy like for example there's a song by Dream Theater in the album Awake, I think it's called The Mirror, if I'm not mistaken. And they like use the same guitar riff for the first like whole minute of the song. But what, like, literally, it's the same guitar like rhythm entirely for the first minute. And what they do is they make the drums change the feel of the song. And they change the feel like, I think, 6 times or something. And it all like really sounds unique, and that's like a very progressive way of thinking about music. And what you're saying kind of reminds me of that, right? Like keeping everything fresh so that the listener doesn't get bored.
Yeah, like keeping the listener on their toes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Not really know well, like they know what's gonna happen, and then
them think they know something's gonna happen.
It's really hard to. Yeah. It's really really hard to for EDM because most people when you know let's say like I'm releasing a new single or whatever, and people know I produce EDM, right? They usually just skip right to the drop, because they don't want to listen to like what's on the intro, because they expect like, oh, it's going to be like the same thing over and over again. So you don't want that. Yeah. It's like you gotta like find a way to somehow like make them listen it from the intro to the drop, like find elements to like hook them up, mm-hmm. you know. And that's also the hardest part about producing.
That's also part of finding your sound. Like if you listen to
exactly, Illenium,
like Illenium is really, really unique in that he like
he really uses
kind of Middle Eastern vibes as well, and like, he uses like harmonic minors, which are so far apart from everything else within EDM that it's Illenium, right? Like it's just him.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I would consider Illenium like he does have like a unique characteristic sound, but he's really pop on some music, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Like
yeah.
you know, like vocal wise and like it's kind of like radio station vibes, you know, when mm-hmm. you listen to Illenium.
But, yeah, for sure.
I know what you mean by unique though. He has sounds where you don't ever hear anywhere. Yeah, it's crazy.
Going back to that song we talked about, Lathi. Yeah, that song. That reminds me of what you were saying about the like keeping it fresh, because at the beginning it starts kind of poppy.
Yeah, right.
Like the vocals and stuff, and I was like, okay, but then the section like kind of a Phrygian thing. The build up, it was okay, and then the drop is heavy as fuck. So
I know.
I really like that.
Yeah. See. See what I mean now by like keeping it unexpected, right? Mm-hmm. And then it's like, holy shit, like something new. Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. It's really
and
hard.
I've also seen. Yeah. No. What were you saying? Sorry. No. You.
No. It's like if it doesn't work out, it turns out really, really messy and complicated, and it just doesn't work out. So it's like really hard to find the perfect transition.
Mm-hmm.
And it
was actually I was talking about this yesterday with a friend, and he was like defending. I'm not sure if you're if you know Frank Zappa, if you've ever listened to Frank Zappa.
I've heard of him.
Well, whatever. He's a like a guitarist from the 70s, who is granted an amazing musician, but also he makes the weirdest fucking music you can possibly imagine. Like one of his biggest songs is called "Don't Eat the Yellow Snow." Like, just so you get my idea.
Yeah.
And like, you know, he also does like very progressive music and whatever, but it tends to sound kind of dumb in some ways. Like, it's so progressive that it sounds just completely crazy and out of this world. And I think that like turns people down quite a lot from listening to Frank Zappa.
He has
like intros that kind of sound like ASMR. He has a song called "Bobby Brown Goes Down," and he talks about being the most handsome man on earth. It's like so out of this world that it turns a lot of people down. Shit. And even for me, like when I first started listening to him, I was like, I hate this. I hate this because it's so weird. I don't really get it. But you know, I guess if you give it some time,
But I also think that's kind of the point of that, because there's like, I'm thinking of visual art, like this movement called Dadaism. I think that's mm-hmm. how it's pronounced. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But it was like an art movement that like happened after the Second World War,
mm-hmm.
like 20th century. Mm-hmm. And it was like really weird. Like they did really weird, not music. Like
paintings and photos, and
pieces of art, paintings, and that was like just the point of the thing, like of the movement, like just making absurd things that trigger people, basically. And I think that's kind of the thing with like not only Frank Zappa but experimental music overall. Like for example, there's an album. It's called Bish Bosh, B-I-S-C-H, then B-O-S-C-H. I don't know what the artist is called, but it's so weird. Like made me so uncomfortable, like throughout the whole album. I think that's also like kind of an important element to music. You know, experimenting on feelings, like how people react to your music. And there's, I don't know who said it, a friend told me this, but like there's already so many like music that makes you happier, makes you want to dance or make you sad. So I think it's important to try to cause something else on the listener, right? And it's kind of like the mentality of contemporary art, like making, like think outside of the box, even if it's, if it doesn't make any sense, basically. And I think it's interesting. I'm not saying it's good music if it's bad music. It's just weird, and it's interesting to understand it that way, I think.
Yeah, for sure. Like, even if you listen to, like, for example, the song Giorgio by Moroder by Daft Punk, you have the intro where Giorgio's talking about, like, making pop with synth was really easy, but, you know, what I really wanted was to create something new and, like, give a whole...
The sound,
like,
of the future.
Yeah, exactly. And if you listen to his music, it actually sounds like the future because he was playing... basically what the 80s would sound like in the 70s, right? And, you know, maybe that's why some people didn't like him as much, but he was entirely visionary in that respect.
That's really
cool. All right, so to keep the podcast going, I asked Senna to get an artist ready that he thinks essentially just to, like, embodies EDM nowadays, and he is going to talk about them now.
Yeah, so I think this is an upcoming artist, but he's only 16 years old, which is really crazy, and why it kind of motivates me to produce more. So if you guys go to the playlist, and it was at the very last song, it's called Came for Love.
Yeah,
it just got released last night.
Mm-hmm.
And on the intro, you can hear it. It's just really... it gives like a really poppy vibe.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the build-up comes, it kind of hooks you up even more to it. And then the drop is really unexpected. And it's just, you know, it's like, I really love the word unique. And this guy is just what it is. Like, this guy is really...
Yeah, like the embodiment is really unique. Different.
Yeah, exactly. And he's really different from anyone else. And that's why I look up to him. And why... this guy deserves like a lot more. He's, you know, he's only 16 and he's been promoted in like Martin Garrix's radio station.
Damn.
Like, yeah, he's upcoming, man.
That's crazy. That's really cool.
Yeah.
When you told me about him, I actually did listen to one or two of his songs, and I'm like, I must say, I'm impressed. First off, like, he's 16.
Exactly,
but,
right?
But also that he's just able to create such a unique sound and, you know, in some way kind of embody EDM at the same time.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, I mean, I totally respect this kid. And I actually want to listen to him a little bit more just to get acquainted with his music.
Yeah, he's really good, man. And I think one more thing about EDM is that this kid's only 16 and he's collabed with really huge artists. And I think another thing I want to talk about is collaboration, how it's really important. Like me and you, Andres, we're collabing right now, and, you know, we're working on some tunes, and it's really hard since we're like social distancing from, like, you're in Mexico, I'm in Canada, and it's like, you know, hard to work together.
It's hard to be creative when you're so far apart, I think.
Yeah. And I just think collaboration is, you know, really beautiful in a way where, like, you're combining two sounds of two different human beings into one song.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's insane if you think about it that way, because, like our brains work differently, right?
And, yeah.
You know, we put that into, like, one sound together, and we come up with a whole song, and it's just, like, really crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're collabing with someone else, it's really depends on who the person is. And if you can get a chance to collab with a bigger artist, that's on you too, to like, you know, be out there and get your name out there, right? So it's like, it's a really good opportunity to get your name out there, basically, is what I'm saying.
And that's, that's, and I think it's really important. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was saying that I think it's really important to collaborate or team up, like, especially in the music industry. It's a hard, it's a really hard industry.
It's
so,
like, it's like networking in general.
You have to like get to know a lot of people. And there were a few conferences in at my school a few weeks ago, and one of them was a like alumni from the school.
Yeah,
that they graduated like I think 2 years ago, three, I don't know. And they were talking about like how they started to get placed like in the industry, right?
Yeah.
And one of them said that you have to plant seeds everywhere you can. Mm-hmm. Like even if it's a project you don't really like, but they ask you to, I don't know, record a guitar.
Yeah.
You're like broadening your
horizons,
your network, right? And like people are beginning to know you, and if someone that was in the recording that they saw you and liked how you play, next time he wants a guitarist, he's gonna think of you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all about that, like
getting known,
getting acquainted with a lot of people,
right? Yeah.
And going back to the comment that I made about like not being considered an EDM artist, you know, really what I was talking about was that, like, not necessarily just, oh, this guy doesn't make EDM because he doesn't play with other people. It's more like you're really not part of the community in some sense. Like even going back to Andy James, for example, like the way that he got big is by collabing with someone else, right? He made a song with another guitarist. And that also like kind of put him on the radar, essentially. And he's done that for other people. And then, you know, like big artists will collab with each other so that they broaden their horizons even more. Like Angel Vivaldi, another guitarist, and Andy James just released a song. And it embodies what you were saying about collaboration. So yeah, that was essentially what I meant in some way.
Yeah, and as an artist, it's not really also everything about collaboration. It's also just getting like opinions from other people. Like you don't want to like just stick to yourself the whole time, you know, and keeping your music to yourself. Like you want to get it out there, even though it's not even done. Just get opinions from other people and get like different perspective from other people's viewpoint. And from there, you can start really, you know, considering your mistakes and, you know, fixing it, and also just making sure that you're not in the same over and over again, and just keeping your music to yourself for like a really long time is like not healthy for like the way you produce.
It even like stops you from developing your own sound.
Yeah, exactly. And,
and you're not being objective at all.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's why a lot of people say that you shouldn't produce your own songs. Like it's different if you're producing EDM, but I mean like more instrument, like I mean, music that requires you to record instruments.
Yeah.
I think it's better if it's produced by someone else, because that way they can like help you with, like maybe they can tell you, oh, I don't really like the way you like move to the chorus and you should change it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really, it can result in so much more, like a much better song. And I think it's like kind of letting go of the ego of, it's my song. This is the structure, and it can be changed. I think that it's also like kind of letting go of the ego.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. So I think we've kind of exhausted the whole EDM thing for now. That was a good talk, though. That was good.
Yeah, that actually was.
Yeah, I'll. Thanks for coming, Senna.
No worries, man. Thanks for having me.
Be sure to what's it called? To plug your shit, like your music and shit.
yeah, for sure, man. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, what's your Instagram, real quick, so that you know anyone listening can.
It's I'll put it down. Yeah.
It's Sena Soyanto. S E N A S O E Y A N T O. Awesome. Yep. Well, yeah, I'll definitely be sure to check out more EDM. And next week, we're actually going to have Micah over to talk about ambience.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Micah is really good with ambience, man.
Yeah.
You guys should be excited.
Yeah, for sure. And also, the song that we're going to be producing for next month is probably going to be an EDM track. So if you're willing to help us a little bit with that, then
we're happy to.
Awesome.
Yeah, fuck yeah. Well, that'd be dope.
All right. Well, thank you very much and have a great day, man.
Yeah. Stay safe, guys.
Woo-hoo!